Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. I'm welcoming you here because I'm here to help you be able to get your business or your money working harder for you so you don't have to work so freaking hard for that money. As a reminder, check out our website, www.moneyripples.com, especially if you want to see ways to free up cash flow. It's a great place to go. Now, on today's episode, I want to talk about a concept that still a lot of people get hung up on, and I don't blame you one bit, because if you've been trained by most of the financial pundits out there and everything else, you've been told that this is bad, to stay away from it, never to do it, and all that other kind of crap. And so I'm going to address the topic of debt. How do you actually get your debt working for you rather than the other way around, which is what most people do, where they end up working so hard for debt? Now, obviously, when I'm using the word debt, I'm using the traditional sense of the word. True debt is actually not debt. You know, we're talking about using liabilities. We're using cash, using other people's money to create something more, to essentially create leverage. Now, most people, when you think about debt, I would agree with some of the pundits that, and even with maybe what some of your beliefs are, is that people are using it to consume. Now, using debt to consume, such as, you know, buying crap, you know, I'm not talking about like cars necessarily or even houses, but I'm talking about things like if you're just putting things on credit and you're getting charged high interest for something that you can't really afford in the first place. Yeah, this is an issue. We're not talking about that right here. Okay, guys, we're actually talking about how to actually use it wisely. How do we use it in a proper sense of stewardship? The hard thing is that everybody teaches you that all debt is bad. Don't get it. And even if you get a mortgage, pay it off as fast as you possibly can and everything else. Now, there's other episodes, there's other things I've done to address that specific topic of whether or not you should get a mortgage on your house or even what it costs you to pay off your mortgage. But again, this always comes back to stewardship. Can you use this money wisely? And so I'm going to use an example from my own life personally, a few examples probably, to where this can work. And so I want to use from the point of a business owner as well as from the point of an investor. So let me give you an example here. You know, where can it work for you? Now, we already know where it doesn't work, and that's things that consume, that creates more, especially if it creates tighter cash flow. We don't want that. By the way, when it comes to interest rates, it is not the most important thing. Although all things being equal, I want the lowest interest rate possible. There's no doubt. But what ultimately really helps to create better leverage is making sure that the payment is the lowest possible. That is the key, is cash flow. It comes down to that. You can actually put yourself in a world of hurt if you don't address this. So let me give you an example from my business. You know, back in early 2007, I was launching a new coaching business with a few other guys, and pretty much we were putting all of our own skin in the game. So I had just, you know, as you guys heard from my story, I'd been retired in 2006, came out of retirement in 2007. And so I was thinking, hey, I'm great. I don't even have to work. This is what I love. This is my next passion, my next thing here. So I start to do that. And so I go to the bank and I say, hey, I don't want to touch all my cash reserves, because again, cash reserves are key. You want to keep those intact. But, you know, I do want to see if I can leverage some money. And so I got an SBA loan, a business loan, a business line of credit. They gave me a $25,000 line of credit. And the interest rate was right around 5%. No, it was actually about 6%. It stayed at 6% for quite a while. So it was about 6%. Now, the payment on this was a whopping $126 a month when I had leveraged the whole thing. And here's the thing you got to look out for. $126 a month, right? If you cannot, this is the perspective you need to have. Can I create more than $126 a month with this money? This is the ultimate question, right? This is true even if you're looking at possibly using a home equity line of credit for different things, whether it be for your business or even to invest, is can I create more than that monthly payment? If you created the same, sure, technically by the numbers you'd be okay, but you wouldn't be any better off in a cash flow standpoint, and that would be questionable. But could you be better off? And so think about this. Like, if I can't take $25,000 and put it into my business and make at least $126 a month, the truth is I should not be in business, and nor should you. That's the real truth here. For most part, most people think, hey, if I had 25 grand, I would hope to create a couple grand in the business, right? And hopefully that's what you would say. Now, granted, now if the bank says, hey, let's make it like a hard money loan, maybe it's like a really bad hard money loan, and they're saying, you're going to pay us $2,000 a month, I guarantee I'll probably question it a little bit more. I'd probably say, hey, can I really guarantee I'm going to create at least that much if it were a few thousand dollars a month? I don't care if the interest rate was 3% or 2% or 1%. If they're making me pay $2,000 a month, I got to ask myself, is that really worth the cash flow? Am I going to create more than that? Because if I do, awesome. If I can take $25,000 and make $100,000 that year, who cares? Which I actually almost did, actually, with that money. But that's not the point. The point is really like, what can you create? And so, you know, that's where $126 a month to me seemed like nothing. And by the way, it wasn't until just recently, just the other day, my wife and I said, you know what? You know, what can we do to create more cash flow? We got some cash. What do we do? Do we invest it? Do we do this? Do we pay off loans? Well, the next loan based on my cash flow index that finally came down a little bit was my SBA loan. So we said, do we do this or this? Do we do another real estate property or do we pay off the loan? Answer is both. We did both. So that was our choice. And that's the thing. The thing is, at that point, the index was low enough that it made sense to pay it off finally. It finally made sense because now it's like, hey, with the balance that's remaining versus the cash flow I can free up, you know what? There's very few investments that would beat that kind of return. So that's what I did. So in that case, I actually ended up not only using the loan, but eventually after now 11 years, over 11 years, finally decided to pay it off. And I'll tell you, I've made way more than any interest that was charged, like 25 grand. I don't know how much that was charged over the last 11 years. Even if it was double, let's just say it was double the amount, which it actually probably wasn't. It was actually not even that much. But even if it were double, say the interest was another 25 grand, so I had to pay 50 grand total. The thing is, if it helped me make hundreds of thousands of dollars in my business, why would I care? That's the power of leverage. And in fact, I will tell you, I've run the numbers any which way possible. And we just did an episode before about putting money in a 401k versus doing real estate. You know, I used that example before where I ran those numbers. And you can see it's almost impossible to retire. I just had somebody come to me recently. They're 57 years old. They said, Chris, you know what? I've liked your stuff. You know, I actually got referred to you by my friend. We're trying to figure out what we can do to retire. We want to have a $240,000 a year income coming off of it. But even though between 401ks and mutual funds and everything else, we got $2 million. Despite that, based on what every financial advisor is telling me, that means I can only really live on about $60,000 or so a year. You know, Chris, can you do better? And my answer is, yeah, duh. And I said, I don't even have to touch your 401k and we can still do better. You know, you could wait another 3 years before you even touch that 401k or so, and we would be doing way better in the meantime. And I even showed him, I said, hey, now really this year, conservatively, we could probably make you at least $50,000 to $100,000 this year. That's more than trying to use all your resources combined to live on the interest or less than the interest that they're trying to do with mutual funds. He's like, $50,000 to $100,000, really, that's realistic? I'm like, I'm being conservative. I'm just talking about the money that's not in your 401k because we can't touch it. It's locked up. We're just talking about the money that's outside of it. And you could easily within 5 or 6 years make that up to $20,000 plus a month. And so that kind of blew his mind, obviously, and I don't blame him. It was hard for him to wrap his head around because he had been taught to accumulate money for so long, he never saw that with possible leverage, he could create more. Now, I'm going to use an example. So that's from the business standpoint. In business, it's really easy to tell because you got to be making it. Now, what about from an investing standpoint? Because investing can be tricky. And the way most people, quote unquote, invest, it usually means they take high risks with low returns. This is like mutual fund investing, investing in your 401ks and IRAs and stock market stuff. For the most part, you are going to be taking super high risk with low returns. So you know what I did? I said, let's take an example of a deal I just did. So a real estate property I'm buying right now, the property is the payment, the total price of the property is about $134,000. So I said, let's do a comparison. What if I paid this property in full outright in cash? So there's no loan, there's no debt. Let's compare that to if I did have debt and with the same $134,000. So scenario one means I just bought a house free and clear, no debt. I get to keep all the rent other than, of course, property management fees, taxes, and insurance, which you still have to pay. My net cash flow, and by the way, the renter's already in, so I already know what I'm cash flowing. The net rent is about $950 a month that I get to take as profit. Now, $950 a month off $134,000, that's $11,400 a year. That's a return of about 8.5%. Now, that's a pretty darn good return, wouldn't you agree? I mean, 8.5%, I mean, unless you've only been in the stock market for the last 5 or 10 years, you might think that's not good. That's better than the stock market average in the last 3.5 years with an actual yield of the market. So 8.5%, not including some of the tax benefits I get by depreciating and keeping more of that income than I would otherwise, right? Now, that's 8.5% return. So $11,400 or $950 a month. Here's the thing. Now, with what I'm doing, my strategy is I'm only putting 20% down and I'm getting a mortgage for the rest. So that 20% I'm putting down is roughly about a little over 26 grand, almost 27 grand. Now, with that money, the thing is, what if I bought 4 more properties just like it? Because if I'm only putting 20% down, 20% of my cash, it means I can buy 5 properties for $134,000. That $26,800 times it by 5, $134,000. What if I bought 5 properties? Now, I got to take into account, of course, I do have a mortgage. I have expenses there. I'm paying, you know, with interest and principal and everything, right? I'm paying all of that. Now, my net cash flow, and I already know this too, is about $300 a month. It's just under. It's like $295. Now, that $295 a month, that cash flows me nearly $18,000 a year or almost $1,500 a month. If you were to be exact, $1,470 a month. So $1,470 versus $950. I'm cash flowing an extra $520 a month by having debt, by creating leverage. Now, here's what's cool. This is where you really start to. Now, this alone, I mean, $18,000 versus $11,400, or, you know, is a pretty obvious, I'm making a pretty good return. I'm making about a third more than I was otherwise, right? I mean, if you were to choose $1,500 a month versus $950 a month, what would you choose? Exactly. You know, now here's the thing. If we look out 5 years, and let's just say that these properties, they grow by 20%. Not 100%, nothing crazy, just 20%. That's like a 3.7% average, which is not much. That's actually, I mean, compared to what we're seeing lately with real estate, it's actually low, right? But 3.7 is actually a pretty good conservative number. Some people will say at least 4 or 5%, especially for lower priced rental properties. I'm going to say less than 4% even. So over that period of time, it grows 20% in 5 years. That means now my 134,000 property is worth just over 160,000, and I'm going to round down to just make it 160 even. So I gained an extra $26,000. So if we look at the first scenario where I bought this outright in cash, not only have I made $11,400 a year for 5 years, but now I've also made an extra $26,000 in appreciation. That is a grand total in 5 years of $83,000 from that $134,000. That $83,000 is the same as a 62% rate of return in 5 years. Would you say that's pretty good? Yeah, I think that's awesome, wouldn't you? 62% return in 5 years is awesome. You would hope that the stock market would do that consistently, right? Now, by the way, even if we take out appreciation, I still made good money. We already know that. But the cool thing is that now I've made 62% in 5 years. So even if I bought out rent in cash, I'm doing pretty dang good. I'm doing better than probably what I'll get in any mutual fund, especially over a given period of time. However, with these 5 properties, a few things have been going on under the surface. Yes, one, all 5 properties appreciated by that 20%, which means Each of those five properties made $26,000 each in appreciation. But on top of that, also my renters have been paying down my mortgage for me. So yes, maybe I've only been pocketing about $295 a month, but they're also paying down some of my principal as well as my interest on my mortgage. I'm not paying any of it. My renters are paying that. So what happened? Well, let's find out. My loans after 5 years go down to about $98,000. So $98,000 up to the $160,000, right? You put those two together, that means I've made now $62,000 on each of those five properties. That's a grand total with the $18,000 over 5 years, you know, for the cash flow, plus $62,000 of appreciation and equity building on five properties. That's a total of $400,000 or a 298% return. So now I've got $400,000 of cash flow and equity. Would you bet I'm going to turn around and make some more? Heck yeah. Can you see the power? 62% versus 298% because I leveraged debt the right way. Not the wrong way, but the right way. Now, does this mean I'm going to be telling everybody to go start getting all the debt they possibly can and going and just investing in whatever? No, of course not. I'm using great systems and tools. I minimize my risk. I make sure there's seller conditions so that sellers have to fix up the property based on our specifications before we even buy it. There's renters already in place, you know, things like that. I mean, all this stuff has been happening, right? I mean, this is all stuff I've done to minimize my risk. You can't just blanket statement this. And this is not guaranteed either. I'm just giving an illustration using one of my properties, just using a real life example of what we're doing. You know, that's it. And by the way, this is with higher interest rates. If I could have done this a couple months ago, these numbers would have been even better in my favor. But obviously interest rates have been going up. So that's the point, is that guys, like, there's so much you can create, so much you can do when you have leverage. It's about acceleration, not accumulation. And when people get stuck in that traditional mindset of how they can actually just leverage money, you know, doing it the same old way of just using all their own cash, I'm telling you, it's almost impossible. It's not impossible, but it's hard, very hard to create any kind of financial freedom doing it all yourself. You would have to scrimp and save everything, sacrifice and suffer in the hopes that maybe you might be able to create it. Or you can do it the wise way, do it smart, do it in a way that works right. Not about working harder, but about working smarter and especially working right. And then watch what you can create. So guys, I want you to wrap your head around this. You might have to listen to this a couple times, but that's the point here, is that you can create a massive amount of wealth in a quick amount of time just by creating the right amount of leverage in the right places. So I'm going to issue a call to action here, guys. Obviously this knowledge is great, but it's got to be applied. So first and foremost, if you're thinking like, Chris, like, I need help with this personally. Like, I need to figure out, I think I have the potential to create something like this. Reach out to me, chris@moneyripples.com. And see what you can maybe do one-to-one. Now, here's the other thing. If you're saying, hey, I've been getting some good education, but I want to see how this actually works. And maybe you want to be able to see this in a different format, maybe face-to-face. Maybe do better visually. There's only a few spots I'm letting open here. Usually I just have my clients show up to my events now and occasionally just a few special guests that can come. I do this actually out of my home in Utah. This is May 11th and 12th. I'm going to be doing my Wealth Empowerment Intensive. If you feel like maybe either one, you're making good money, but you wonder where it's all going, or two, how you can get your money worked for you so you don't have to keep working so hard for money. You're like, hey, I'm in this situation. Like, what do we need to do? Like, I've got money sitting in savings doing nothing. You know what? You need to probably come to this as well. And so there's a few spots open. Again, you need to email me, chris@moneyripples.com, to see if you can get on the spot. I'm not going to have it open for registration online. You can't do it that way. This is, again, special invite. This is something that I want to make sure that's a good fit for you and for me, for you to be there. So I challenge you to go do that. There's some amazing things we'll teach in that day and a half. It's, again, May 11th and 12th here in Utah. It's actually going to be done from my home. So you're going to be in my home with me, learning from me face to face. So that's something you want to do. Let me know. Again, I hope and I hope this really becomes awesome for you. And I hope that this helps you in your life and as well as anybody else you know as well. Guys, make a great and prosperous week. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. and check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at moneyripples.com. Join us next time on the Chris Miles Money Show.